Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome back to Lighten Up Brother Podcast with Fuego del Sol. I'm the assassin, AK-47. We're back. The positive vibes are back again this week. You all know the drill. Let's get right into it. What you got to say to the people this week, Fuego?
It's good to be back here on Lighten Up Brother. You know, the positive podcast where we talk pro wrestling every week. I've been loving seeing the comments, the love that we've been getting each week. We need your help. You're here on the ground floor. We're trying to grow this podcast. So any reels, TikToks, comments, love, support, send it all our way. Tell a friend to tell a friend about Lighten Up Brother with Fuego del Sol. And my wonderful co-host, my best friend, fellow professional wrestler, KBW legend, the Assassin AK-47. Are you ready to talk some wrestling this week, my friend?
Oh, yes, Fuego. I'm ready to talk to wrestling, and thank you for the shout-out. And also, again, I want to thank all the supporters out there, but all the comments and the all the likes we've been getting and all the feedback as well. It's been awesome to see a lot of people really enjoying the podcast, and I'm glad that we're growing, and we're just going to keep growing from here. But, yes, let's get in to the big topics this week. We got to start off. I'm not going to spoil it. You know, it's a contender for match of the week. We got to talk about it first, though. MJF, first time ever, versus Kenny Omega.
Yeah, and for my money, there might be only one other match, maybe two other matches that could even compete with it this week. Right. However, my goodness, maybe it will go down as the best collision match that we've ever seen so far. I really, at the end of the year, I'll go back through and do my rewatch of the best matches of the year, because I know Juice and Jay White versus FTR and the 2 out of 3 falls match earlier this year was incredible. However, you know, I went back and rewatched it. MJF versus Kenny Omega for the AEW World Championship this past Saturday was incredible. I think a lot of people, this was announced almost on 3 days' notice. I almost wonder, did Tony see the BTE skit and go from there? You know, because on BTE, MJF walks up to Kenny, says, hey, 26 days. Maybe Tony saw that and was like, man, we need to do that on TV. Or maybe MJF and Kenny started talking. It's like, oh, man, maybe we should do a match. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it turns into him doing it a couple weeks ago on television. And then, well, man, if we're going to do this match, we only have a couple weeks to do it. I know a lot of people were disappointed in the rating. You know, they only had about 450,000 viewers this past Saturday when that match could easily sell a pay-per-view, over 100,000 buys. You know, that's easily a $1 million pay-per-view if they save it. That match could have main evented all in next year. But regardless, you want to make Collision must-see, I made sure to tune in Collision this past Saturday to watch. There were so many near falls in this match. There were so many big moments. Both of those guys were busting out things in sequences that we haven't seen often from them, especially MJF. You know, right. Busting out a dive, busting out the cradle DDT that he hit. You know, he only saves the Made in Japan move for the big matches. He started doing Adam Cole's Panama Sunrise. Mm-hmm. There was just a ton of stuff he did in that match. We all know that MJF can go, but he saves just enough time in between the time that he wrestles that people somehow forget that he's good in the ring. And we know Kenny Omega, I said every week, he's right there at the top echelon of the best pro wrestlers in the world, and they deliver on every level. This match was an all-timer.
Of course, definitely an all-timer. You said a lot there, and I definitely share the same exact thing what you said. I don't want to add too much to it because you pretty much took the words out of my mouth. It was an all-timer. It was a banger. We all knew it was coming. We saw – I feel like a lot of people were like, I don't know. But Kenny Omega, whenever he's in the ring, it's going to be a great match. And MJF really showed the world that he can wrestle too, and not only his style, but he's very versatile, as you can see. He did, like you said, brought out the big guns in this match. He really showed off his talent. And I know a lot of people kind of, like you said, forget that MJF can go, but he can go. And he showed off exactly what he can do, especially with one of the GOATs of Kenny Omega. And what a match, like you said, the close near falls, all that, the table spot was dope. And also the intrigue of MJF is so good. He makes the match is more intense and more story heavy with his facials, with his his comedic timing. A lot of people don't really recognize this sometimes, but MJF has great comedic timing, even when it's a serious match. And when he's like getting beat up or getting in a situation, he has that comedic timing that makes it like, oh, like he's like a little, you know, like a shit face heel. It's just perfect, perfect heel work from MJF and a great, great match from him and Kenny Omega. What else can you say about that?
Oh yeah, a sprinkle of flair, like the way he sells, the way he exaggerates. He definitely has that sprinkle of flair, and you know, of Ric Flair is what I'm trying to say. And then he. What he does now as a good guy, he can play on the overdone cliches of pro wrestling, right? When MJF starts to clap, we know he's in on the joke of the clap. You know what I'm saying? When MJF poses for the kangaroo kick, we know it's a ridiculous move. But he knows that the crowd will eat up any out of the palm of his hand with anything he does. So, he plays into it. And so, he's almost cheating, right? Because he hates the cliches of wrestling, but he then plays into the cliches of wrestling to be a babyface. And I'm mad about it, but I like it.
He's a master of the psychology when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, he's definitely a great psychologist. He knows how... There's a famous line that was said to me a long time ago. Less is more when you're over, right? And MJF is over. Once you connect with the crowd, anything you do means more. And he's over. And he's earned it with his promos and his work over the years now. And to play off those cliches, he did it. You know, you want to create anticipation. I was talking about this with my students last night at the school. Creating anticipation for something makes you want to see it more. Right, they could have easily built this Kenny MJF up match for months. They could have built it up, and everybody in the world would want to see it. And they have been doing that with some storylines of building it up. However, like last night, you know that match. You know, sometime in that match on Dynamite, he's gonna scissor the Acclaim. He's gonna do it. But for 4 weeks, we built it up that I'm not playing into these tactics. Right. I'm not gonna team with you guys. I'm not gonna do it. And he takes it away from us. Without being a heel, he takes it away from us. He takes it away from us. He plays with it. He toys with it. And then we finally get the scissor and the place comes unglued, you know? So it's like, that's pro wrestling. That's anticipation. And I really love it. However, if we're gonna talk about Dynamite, you said it to me before we went on the air. We keep things positive here. Not the greatest show in the world last night. Not horrible. It would seem like a subpar episode of Dynamite. MJF was all over the show. I did like some of the things they were doing where he was marking off the list. Yeah, you know, going cool. having to fight his demons of like, oh, what? Not can't knock on Darby Allin's door. Can't knock on this door. I refuse to knock on the Acclaim's door. So there was some really fun stuff there. He comes around the corner. The Acclaim he's like, nope, I got one more group I need to turn to. And he turns and Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt and Satnam Singh are there like, come on. Yeah, come on. That was good. That's good entertaining pro wrestling. But there was only a few other things on the show this week for Dynamite that I felt like I was even remotely interested in. We'll get into that later. But the biggest thing coming out of AEW this week, MJF versus Kenny Omega, and we've spent 8 minutes on it now, so I think I'm good on how much I like that match.
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered it, how great that match was, and kind of, you know, touched a little bit how Dynamite was this week with MJF and the Acclaimed, and we finally got the, you know, MJF finally did it. The spot we all wanted him to see, the scissor. I said it last week, you know, give us what we want, MJF, and he finally gave it to us. Happy about that. Well, let's move on to a different company. We got to talk about NXT Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, there's two big matches from Halloween Havoc that I want to talk about right now. And that's why in the list of topics, I put just NXT Halloween Havoc. This is NXT Halloween Havoc Part 2. Of course, we got last week's Part 1. This week on Halloween, Tuesday night edition of NXT. And I'm shocked to say this, but I think for my money, NXT was the best television show on TV this week. Damn. Over Monday Night Raw, over AEW Dynamite, and just slightly over AEW Collision. But besides the Ricky and Dax Harwood match and that, of course, classic between MJF and Kenny, I think the quality of matches and angles on this show had me more intrigued about NXT than I have been in maybe years. And Ilya Dragunov and Carmelo Hayes, they gave us a banger last month at the pay-per-view. You come back, you have the rematch, and you end it with an angle. We know Trick Williams, whoop that Trick, has been getting over as a babyface as of late. You know, he won the North American title at the pay-per-view, and now, out of nowhere, he gets attacked from behind a couple weeks ago. Who attacked Trick Williams? There was blame on Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo and Trick have been a unit for a while now. Carmelo turned heel. You know, they did the double turn a couple months. I'm a turn babyface, but I thought, I knew that was only just a temporary thing because Trick Williams got so over as a babyface, you have to almost split him up. And he shows up to distract Carmelo just long enough for Ilya to retain the title. Really great match between those two. Big banger. There was a nasty DDT on the apron that Ilya took from Carmelo that was just disgusting. The slingshot DDT. And then the Creed brothers. We got to talk about the Creed brothers, man. They faced Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza in a ladder match.
Great ladder and match.
It was great. It was incredible. You know, the Creeds just debuted on Raw for the first time Monday night and had a banger with the Outfield Academy. You know how big of a fan I am of Chad Gable. That I felt like those two teams meshed so well, and I can't wait to see more of that on the main roster from the Creeds. But they're like, if we're going up to the main roster, we're leaving NXT with a bang. And they tried to break their bodies last night. Oh, yeah. There was a crazy bump that Julius took on the ladder where they double gorilla pressed him off the top rope and then threw him on top of the ladder. There was a super nasty where the Angel and Humberto hit their finish with the gory special on the apron where they flip and hit like a cutter through the table on the outside. Disgusting. Then the Creed's finish with Brutus jumping off the top rope, hitting him through the table to win the match. That ladder match was a certified banger. It was the best match on NXT last Tuesday night. They had a great match with Alpha Academy. I cannot wait. The Creeds are one of the best things to come out of NXT 2.0 when the takeover happened and the switch happened. There was a lot of bad. Creeds have always been good. Ivy Nile comes up, gives Akira Tozawa the German on the floor on Monday night. Just, I want to touch and just give the Creed brothers their flowers and how I am super excited to see all the things they do on the main roster. But they went out with a bang in that ladder match. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. What I was really impressed by, because over the years, we've seen lots of ladder matches to this point. Like, what else can you do in a ladder match to really shock, like, the shock value of it? And, like, because, you know.
Bro, just real quick, let me interrupt you. I said the same thing last night to my trainees. I was like, there's only a few ladder matches. They're overdone. It's oversaturated the market.
Right.
So besides big moments or big winners, you don't remember spots from ladder match. Besides maybe the Sammy Cody one with the ladder, because that was one of the newest things we've ever seen in a ladder match.
Right.
Also, I took a pile driver from Cody in that match, so maybe I'm a little biased to that one. So I'll admit that. But besides that, they're overdone. So it's hard to make a ladder match memorable. Continue your point.
Yeah, just going off that, I was going to say, like, hard to make them memorable, but they did it. Like, I feel like they were very versatile what they wanted to do in the ladder match. I feel like they went in there, it's like, yeah, we know maybe a ladder match is overplayed, oversaturated, like you said, but we're going to make it our own. We're going to make it, this is our ladder match. We want to make it different from any other ladder match there was. They did their own, they had their own flavor to it, their own style to it, and I loved it. I think they really killed it and showed off the versatility of the way their minds thought of it going into the match. I was like, damn. They really, really showcased that. And I'm like, props to them, because it was glorious. But,
and then,
go ahead.
And then one last angle I want to touch on from the Halloween Havoc show is that we talked about our boy Robert Stone was going to wrestle Braun.
Yep.
It was a quick 3-minute match, you know, real quick squash. He didn't get to show off any of his wrestling, but it was a really good angle to bring back Von Wagner. He was going to smash Robert Stone's head with the steel steps, just like he did to Von Wagner weeks and weeks ago. He comes back, makes the return. Bron Breakker versus Von Wagner. We're going to get the rematch. Shout out to our boy Robert Stone, though. I enjoyed Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, heavy on the ankles.
Heavy, heavy, heavy on the ankles. I loved it. Good storyline, good storytelling. And yeah, I think we're going to leave that there. We got to talk about your man, Cody. Got to talk about Cody.
Cody Rhodes. We know we got him versus Damian Priest getting set up for Crown Jewel next, this Saturday, I should say. And after the ankle spot last week, Cody doesn't wrestle on Raw this week, but he does put JD McDonough's head through the goddamn announce table. Ooh, yeah. That was insane. And then he cuts a really good promo on Damian Priest at the end of the show of just being like, what's your story? You've been in the business 20 years. You're 6'6". You're this close to being able to cash in the money in the bank and ascend to glory. And you're not the leader of the Judgment Day? That line hit so hard. I really enjoyed it. Cody getting promo time is the best Cody, especially when he's fired up and has something serious to say. And that was fun to hear. I don't know where they're going with this. Are they going to have him put up his money in the bank on the line? Is Cody going to take it? I don't think so. Like I said, I don't like the fantasy book here. But I do think it's a fun way to keep Cody busy. I know some people feel online, critics said it felt like a rerun of Monday Night Raw because we've seen the Sami, Jay, and Cody versus the Judgment Day feud or angle or series of matches and any amalgamation of how you split it up between singles and tags and six-man.
They did it every which
I know
way.
We've seen it a lot. Mm-hmm. Yes. However, I thought it was well done enough this week and different enough this week because the way they did it, I liked it. I wasn't super high on Monday Night Raw, but I didn't hate it. And I really like this Cody angle a lot. Give Cody Rhodes more promo time, more stories where he can sink his teeth into because this was good.
Yeah, obviously, we all know it. Cody Rhodes is a great, great promo. If you haven't known by now you know. And just like a fun, quick story, most people know now by now since I've been doing the pod, that I did train at the Nightmare Factory with Cody Rhodes and QT Marshall, and we did have promo classes. And I was very nervous. Cody's such a master at promos. So him giving me feedback and criticizing and actually gave me great advice. And when I did my first promo, I remember him saying how great he liked my promo. It made me feel great that Cody Rhodes liked my promo. So Cody Rhodes, give him more promo time. He's the best at it. And I love learning from him when it comes to promos because he is such a master. Just wanted to put that in.
And there. while we're touching on your time at the Nightmare Factory, Cody Rhodes is facing Damian Priest at Crown Jewel. Damian Priest's little brother came and trained alongside you at the Nightmare Factory in your camp. So fun little connection that we both have to Cody. You have to Damian Priest's little brother. I just thought it was a cool, unique thing that I was like, you get to say, hey, you have a unique perspective on this matchup. You wrestled Damian Priest's brother at the showcase.
Yeah, at the showcase. And so, you can watch it on YouTube, Showcase 3 of Nightmare Factory, me and Damian Priest's little brother, Steve. He's awesome. We had such a great match, and it was fun. We had a good time. It was awesome, and that was my first time getting back into wrestling. And he's also new, and we had a fun time. And
I got to wrestle him, too. Me and Fuego, too. Our last match ever together was against him and someone else. But that match never aired because of Fuego 2's mysterious disappearance. But enough about connections.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
All right. Let's move on to L.A. Knight.
L.A. Knight. Yeah, I really have been enjoying this build to Roman and LA Knight. And I say that hesitantly because there's no way in hell Roman's losing at the pay-per-view. Yeah. You just know something shady is going to go down. And our boy LA Knight is not going to get the moment that he deserves right now. And I'm just so worried that it kills his momentum that I'm trying not to even get my hopes up. And I think it hinders my enjoyment on the feud. But him interrupting the entrance of the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, and walking right by him to the ring for this contract signing, loved it. Him showing no fear I'll go toe-to-toe with the top guy in this company on the microphone and have everybody saying, L.A. Knight, yeah, it's fire. He then faces Jimmy Uso, beats him, blunt force drama. You know, he puts him through the table after Roman attacks him. You could tell the L.A. Knight is getting under Roman's skin. He attacks him, throws the table on him, beats him up. LA Knight turns it around right when he's about to put Roman through the table. Jimmy makes the save, puts him through the table, gets the revenge on Jimmy at the end of the night with the win. He's one of the hottest things in the company. I would be remiss if I didn't at least bring him up for one of the big topics. Looking forward to him versus Roman at Crown Jewel and seeing what they do in in Saudi Arabia. I won't try to say the town.
No, it's just... Just real quick for me, of course, we got to talk about LA Knight every week because his momentum is so hot right now. One of the hottest acts in wrestling. It's just, it'll feel wrong not to at least highlight him every single week because he is doing such great things in wrestling and one of the big, big stars right now. So always shout out to LA Knight. He's great. He's hilarious. Like you said, I don't know how the match is going to go with Roman. I feel like they have a good match, but hopefully it doesn't kill his momentum after the match because he is such on a high right now. But with all that being said, let's move on to the Mox. Moxley is back.
Yes, after Orange Cassidy had a really good match with Claudio Castagnoli. I love that he went for the satellite DDT and turned it right into the Cesaro swing. Oh, God, Cesaro. The giant swing, I should say. He turned it into the swing. That was a beautiful counter. So I just want to point out that great match between them two. They have great chemistry, like we said last week, going all the way back to Jakar days. But Mox is back. The man who took the title off of Orange Cassidy after his incredible reign. You know, and then unfortunately lost it to Phoenix after suffering a concussion. Does Moxley regain this title? Do we see him beat Orange Cassidy again? I'm very intrigued to see how this goes. I was very intrigued by Orange Cassidy winning the title back. So, is it just another reset, or is there something fun gonna come out of this? I'm intrigued. It's good to see Moxley back,
though. Of course, Moxley back on any television is a plus in my opinion. He is so great. He brings the energy. He's always at a max speed. He's always 100. He's no bullshit. So, I'm so excited that he is back and back in full form. It's good, great to have Moxley back. All right. Speaking of comebacks, though, we talked about Mox coming back. We got to talk about Wesley coming back as well.
Yes. On Halloween Havoc, Dirty Dom retains the title, and we get Wesley, the guy he took the title off of to begin with. I'm a huge fan of Wesley. I really like the stuff he does in the ring. I see him getting the title back.
Me too.
I do see him getting the title back from Dirty Dom, and this was a good surprise, and very happy about that. Just wanted to touch on it, but I did see, you know, I know a lot of people got love for Wesley. He's one of the original Rascals with Myron Reed, Zachary Wentz, Trey Miguel, former NXT tag champ, hopefully soon to be a multi-time NXT North American champ.
Yeah, I'm assuming so. He's got the title back, and I'm glad he's back as well. Great, great talent. He has been amazing, and him, just seeing him back is just brings joy to everyone involved and everyone out there who's big fans of him. I'm a big fan as well. So great, great seeing him again. And
I said, very, very heavy on the angles on this show. And that was a good one, another good one. Wesley returning.
Yeah, love the storytelling all throughout. Of NXT has been amazing. So, but we didn't talk about him last week. We kind of brushed it over. We got to talk about him this week. We got to talk about Swerve.
Yes, Swerve when I drive, baby. He broke into Hangman's house last week.
Yes,
with a camera and talked to Hangman's child in a crib. Mm-hmm. We don't see this type of storytelling on Dynamite. You rarely see them go outside of the sports base. Type of content, and this was wild. Then this week, he cost Hangman and the Bucks the ROH six-man titles. I thought it was very random that they took the titles off of the embassy, the Mogul embassy in the first place. So then to see them, you know, cash in their rematch, contractual rematch, and get the titles back was another shock to see. But it furthers this Swerve versus Hangman story, which I think is one of the best stories. They had one of the best matches at WrestleDream, and I can't wait to see the rematch. What did you think of this Swerve Hangman continuance?
Oh, I love it. I think it's a good rivalry. I think they have a good chemistry together. I love heel Swerve. He is just putting in the work, the crazy storyline they're going with right now, especially what happened last week. It's going to be fun. I love what they're doing with it, and I'm very, very excited to see the match and just be in awe, because I feel like they're going to put on a banger for us, and it's going to be tense. It's going to have some emotional moments behind it as well, which I'm looking forward to, so I'm all about it. I'm all about this rivalry right now.
Yeah, Swerve's a menace. He's a certified menace when it comes to being a heel. We've seen him show up to Nick Wayne's house and bloody him and beat him up. We've seen him kidnap Daddy Ass and break his finger. And now we've seen him sneak into Hangman's actual home.
Yeah, we got to talk about Swerve just going to people's houses, man. Like, someone needs to stop him.
Yeah, bro. So, I mean, there's breaking and entering cases around the world that could probably be solved if you just, stopped. Yeah. Yeah. Right. He definitely knows how to pick a lock, is what we figured out so far. But it doesn't take away from his incredible work that he's doing, and I have been enjoying Swerve. We talked about it. We put out a social media clip about it. I'm enjoying Swerve. But we need to talk about Crown Jewel, the last big topic this week, and the first match I really want to talk about. You know, they announced it on SmackDown. We talked about it last week. Bianca Belair is back. Bianca versus Io Sky in Saudi Arabia this Saturday. I think, for my money, Bianca Belair regains the SmackDown WWE Championship. What do you think?
I think so, too. I feel like she has to get this one. And it's going to be great. It's going to be another big, big moment for her, just kind of like the WrestleMania moment her and Sasha had. But I love that. I just want her to get the title back because she is so, so good. The title looks great around her waist, and she's such a great champion, I feel like. And I really, really want her to get the title back. And, I think she's going to win.
Hell yeah. We talked about Roman and LA Knight. We've talked about Bianca and Io. We also have the Women's World Championship match where Rhea Ripley defends against Nia, Shayna, Raquel, and Zoe Stark. I don't think we need to touch on that much. I think Mommy runs Raw. She's going to retain. Do you agree?
I agree with that. She runs it. We all know Rhea Ripley, Mommy of the Year. She's got this in the bag.
We talked about Cody versus Damian Priest. They added Sami Zayn versus JD McDonagh to the pre-show. We also had talked heavily last week about Logan Paul versus Rey Mysterio. Mm-hmm. If I had to make a pick right now, new United States champion, Logan Paul.
Yeah, Logan's got this. Yeah, I want him to win. It's so weird because I never imagine myself
rooting for Logan Paul to win a WWE title.
To win a title. It's just saying it. It sounds weird.
We live in the Matrix, brother.
Because, you know, Logan Paul has been around for a long time. You know, on YouTube, everyone knows Logan Paul. He's been doing a lot of things, a lot of skits. He's been everywhere. But now seeing him in WWE, forming and being in wrestling in general has been a wild, wild phenomenon. And I never thought we'll get here, but we are here. And I feel like I want to see Logan Paul win the United States title. I do.
Yeah, he fits like a glove. And I think you'll get what you want. We'll get to see him win the title at Crown Jewel. The GOAT, John Cena versus Solo Sikoa. You know, a kind of callback to the days of John Cena versus Umaga. I don't know if they can live up to the incredible matches that those guys had in their prime, but I will never doubt the GOAT. I don't see this match being too long. I do see it being fun. Who do you got in that one? Do you think John Cena lays down for Solo Sikoa, or do you think the run that he's been on, he needs the win?
I think John Cena lays down here.
Really? You think Solo Sikoa?
I think so because, like, John Cena, we all know it. He's one foot in, one foot out right now. He's he's kind of trying to get back into it, but he says so himself, he doesn't have a lot left in him, and I feel like he would want to have a good match, and but I feel like Solo, just to elevate Solo even more, I'll say Solo wins here. But
yeah, maybe I think you talked me into it. I think yeah. You just talked me into switching my pick. I think Solo wins now too.
Yeah, I don't know. I just have a feeling that John Cena would not do that. But also, I just want to say, it's great to have just to watch another John Cena match. You know, John Cena, we all know he's been big time in movies now. He's kind of making a little comeback here in wrestling. It's good to see him. One of the GOATs for sure. I even put him on Mount Rushmore at this point, to be honest. He is.
I'd agree.
He's an icon. Like, you can't deny it. So
you can't deny it, and we shouldn't take it for granted. I think no. You know, yeah. You don't know how many more of these you're gonna get. So let's enjoy the ride. And right. So, big match, John, on pay per view. I'm all about it.
I'm all about it.
And then the last match that we have, we talked about a lot in recent podcasts. We have not talked about it today. Seth Rollins versus yes. Drew McIntyre for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I really enjoyed Seth's promo this week on Raw.
Me too.
Drew, oh my God. You boo-hoo. You didn't get to win the title the way you dreamt it. Yeah, some people died during COVID. Some people didn't know where their next paycheck was coming in. Some people didn't know where their groceries were coming in. Like, it's true. And yeah. It's a fun take. Like, if you're going to be bitter about this, let me tell you the facts and the realities of life. And I thought it was a different take than we had it. Because, like we said, we've definitely, you know, probably reiterated it to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. He's walking the line of this heel turn. Does he finally turn heel? Does he beat Seth Rollins? This is the match that I have the biggest question mark for. Yeah. Does Drew McIntyre take the title? I feel like it's time. I feel like we see it. He commits to the heel turn. Mm-hmm. He wins the title. That's my big wild card pick for Crown Jewel this Saturday. Drew McIntyre wins the title. What do you think?
I like the pick. I really do. I can definitely see it, but I'm still leaning towards Seth. Attaining it, still retaining. I feel, I don't know. In my gut, I'm sticking with Seth, but I can totally see Drew winning this one at the moment. Seth had a great promo, and I'm also a little biased because I love Seth Rollins. Been a huge, huge fan ever since he came up, and I love his promo work. I love his wrestling. I love his style. He's so, so great in the ring. And yeah, so for me personally, and also, I do believe this, that he will retain. So that's my pick at the moment.
I want to hear from everyone else. Please, in the comments below, give us your picks for Crown Jewels. If it's a wild pick, if it's something that probably you think the minority of people or the majority of people would disagree with, tell us why. I will be in the comments. AK will be in the comments. We'll be talking to you guys in the comments on the YouTube version of this podcast. Let us know what you think. If you're only listening to the audio version, tweet at us your predictions for Crown Jewel. We want to hear them. And then we'll get to the rapid fire topics that we have today. But first, I would like to say, please, 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 please check out our Patreon page. The Fuego del Sol on Patreon. We're going to be giving out exclusive podcast episodes. We're going to be going over and reacting to certain pay-per-views.
Yep.
Because I have a show this coming weekend against QT Marshall, I will not be able to cover the Crown Jewel show, but we're going to work on something. So just check it out. You can follow the Patreon for free, or you can subscribe and get exclusive stuff, not only from the Patreon, but from my other YouTube channels and my other YouTube videos and such. So please check that out.
All right, here we are. Rapid fire. We got to get into it. First up, LFI. Let's get into that.
La Fashion Ingobernable. La Fashion Ingobernable. LFI returned on Collision this week. We had Ricky Starks versus Dax Harwood. Fun little match back and forth. We saw Big Bill get involved and cost Dax the match. We saw House of Black look like they were going to attack. And who comes out to make the save? LFI. Roosh. Dralistico. Preston Vance. They all hit the ring. They said afterwards in a promo, we're not good guys. We're not bad guys. We are just ungovernables. They cannot be tamed. They cannot be stopped. They are ungovernable. They are LFI, and they're back. And I'm glad to see it. I wondered if Andrade was going to join up with them. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet. We don't know where it goes. But it throws a wrench in the pot of the tag team division that's going on right now in Collision. Ricky and Big Bill, two members of the House of Black, two members of LFI and FTR. You're probably building to a four-way tag match here on pay-per-view, if I had to guess. So it's cool to see them back.
Yeah, very, very cool to see them back. I share the same sentiment you were saying. I'm very, very excited to see it. And it's it makes me smile to see LFA back. I'm super, super, super excited about this. It's gonna be a fun one. Now, gotta keep going though. It's rapid fire. You know we gotta do this quick. Takeshita versus Kyle Fletcher. What a match this was. I said it last week or 2 weeks ago about Kyle Fletcher, the singles match. He's been so good in these matches, man. I am just becoming a bigger and bigger fan of his the more and more I see him, and just really a huge shout out to Kyle Fletcher because he's been awesome.
I completely agree. I feel like that's something we've been missing is more Takeshita matches. Yeah. And to put him versus Kyle, perfect type of matchup. I don't watch Rampage often. It takes special matches for me to watch Rampage. But like we said last week, the beauty of having so much good wrestling is we get to pick and choose. So I could turn on the DVR, watch this match, go out of my way. I saw a couple clips on Instagram. I was like, oh, I need to go watch this match. And that's what I did. And I completely enjoyed it. Shout out to Kyle Fletcher. I also am becoming a great big fan of his. Takeshita's the man. I want more Takeshita on my TV. Really, if you haven't watched that match, go check it out. If we didn't have a bunch of bangers, this would also go down as a potential match of the week.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Now, moving on to Xia Li. Let's
talk about that. Xia Li, she's getting a kind of a push on TV, and I like it. I like Xia Li. She was seen in the background with Becky Lynch a couple weeks ago. So clearly they're building something to that. They had her versus Candice LeRae on Raw. She hit the kick a couple times and really dazed and stunned Candice. We're building to Becky Lynch versus Xia Li. I'm all about it. So we'll see where that goes next week. They haven't announced anything for them at Crown Jewel. So this is clearly building to something, possibly Survivor Series. So I'm enjoying it.
Me too. I'm enjoying it. Of course, I share. I'm really looking forward to it as well. So more rapid fire though. We haven't talked about this guy on the pod yet, but we have to put him in this week in the rapid fire section. Eddie Kingston.
Welcome. The ROH champion, the New Japan strong champion, Eddie Kingston, one of the best promo guys in wrestling. I had someone ask about this on last week's podcast. What do you think about Angelico getting the push to wrestle Eddie Kingston for the Ring of Honor World title? Since Lucha Underground, I've been a huge fan of Angelico. I feel like he wasn't utilized to the best of his ability on AEW to this regard. Ring of Honor's giving him more of a chance to shine, and I like to see it. I don't think he beats Eddie Kingston, but I think they put on a fun match. I feel like it's a good clash of styles, and styles make fights, and this is going to be a good one. So Eddie Kingston versus Angelico is a different type of match. I haven't been watching weekly Ring of Honor. I do keep up with it. And this is something I have had a close eye on, and it piqued my interest the second I saw Angelico challenging Eddie Kingston for the title.
Piqued my interest as well. Love Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston always brings the fight. Every time I see Eddie Kingston match, I know it's gonna be a great fight. He goes 100% every single time. It's gonna be a lot of chops. It's gonna be so fun. It's gonna be hard hitting. It's gonna be gritty. And that's what Eddie Kingston brings to the business, and I love every second of it. Cannot wait for that. Now moving on to Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green all over TV this week. You know, as one half of the women's tag team champion, she gets to be on all shows. And she wrestled and lost to Shotzi on SmackDown in a fun little match. Then she wrestled on NXT this week. And they retained their titles. And then on Raw, the outfits that her and Piper Niven wore were great. They dressed up as the Hart Foundation. She was Bret Hart.
So good.
Piper Niven had a great Jim the Anvil Neidhart impression with the beard, the goatee, the laugh. It was phenomenal. The Trigger Street fight was so bad, I couldn't look away. Chelsea Green does that gimmick so well. I had fun with the Trick or Treat fight. It was very entertaining, her and Natalya. I am enjoying Chelsea Green and what she brings to Raw every week. So I just wanted to give her a shout out this week on the Rapid Fire. Shout out Chelsea Green.
Yeah, she deserves our flowers, especially this week. She's so, so entertaining. She brings out the laughs. She's so good. And yeah, like I said, just go back to that word again, entertaining. And that's pretty much all you need to know about Chelsea Green at the moment right now. She really, really gets eyes on her and asses in the seats, I feel like. She's like really must watch right now all over the show, and deservingly so. Okay, moving on. We get a Miz face turn.
Yeah, this is something that I saw got some backlash online. Mm-hmm. You're either a huge Miz supporter or you're sick of the Miz at this point online. But there's only a few other places he can go. We haven't had a lot of Miz as a babyface on WWE. Will it work? I'm not sure. Is it worth a try? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know? He can go with promo-wise. Him and Gunther exchange some words, and it's clearly leading in that direction that Miz is turning babyface. You know, he needs to try to switch things up because he has kind of fallen into the background of characters that are showcased frequently on Monday Night Raw besides mid-TV segments, which facilitates interactions between other people. We haven't really been getting a lot of the Miz on television, and this is a wait and see for me. We'll see what Miz does as a babyface.
Yeah, I would consider myself a Miz supporter. I do feel like he's pretty solid, and I always thought that way. I always think Miz is a really, really great wrestler. And he does get overlooked. I understand that, but I've always been a pretty good supporter of the Miz. He's been doing his thing. I want to see a new direction for him as well, see if he can really get a good babyface run here. See how that goes. So
you said great wrestler, and I would tweak that to great entertainer. I wouldn't necessarily, but solid is a good word to use. You said he's solid. Consistent. It's a solid and consistent. I feel like go hand in hand. He's been always very consistent.
Yeah, always consistent. And you know what you're going to get in a Miz match. I get that for sure.
But what I like the Miz is stuff revolving around the matches, his promo ability, how he can get under opponent's skin, how when you think you've seen the best Miz promo, he comes out of nowhere with some fire that you don't see. That's what I like about the Miz. And maybe with babyface Miz, we can get some of that. But again, it's a wait-and-see game at this point.
Yeah.
Moving on, though. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Wardlow, who's now a heel, who's now challenging, or sometime soon going to challenge, MJF. You know? Mm. Maybe the last man to really pin MJF clean besides Dax Harwood in a tag title match is Wardlow. And he showed up backstage, held him up against the wall by his throat and said, "Hey, I'm going to ruin your life. You're like, you ruined my life." And that's what we're going to get soon enough. And so I just did like that interaction. Instead of him power bombing someone to oblivion and putting MJF on his wrist, we actually got to see him and MJF interact. Yeah. And I thought that was a nice touch and a different way to switch up the pace of the whatever's going on with him and MJF.
Yeah, just speaking of, like, you know, long-term booking and storytelling, Wardlow and MJF's, like, rivalry and Wardlow's, like, story has been going on for such a while, like, a long time now. It's been a couple years, I want to say, this whole back and forth with MJF and Wardlow, and it's still going and it's still at a peak, I feel like. It still has interest to see if Wardlow actually takes down MJF. Like, that would be awesome to see if Wardlow actually gets his, you know, comeuppance and finally takes down the mighty MJF. And
yes, but he's done it already, you know?
I know,
he
powerbombed,
but MJF come out the next Wednesday night and cussed out the boss and left for 3 months. So people...
Exactly, yeah. It kind of
killed it kind of killed Wardlow's momentum. And the reason, you know, it didn't feel like we got a proper ending, even though he powerbombed MJF literally 10 times, if you count
right,
him.
Yes.
10 powerbombs. However... Again, that's a wait-and-see game, but I do want to move on real quick and just quickly touch on Cedric Alexander versus Dragon Lee on SmackDown. It was not a long match, but Cedric Alexander is very good, very underrated and underutilized competitor. His selling is off the charts. Dragon Lee hit his finisher on him, which is the Destino, you know, Naito, his finishing move from New Japan, you know, and Naito and Dragon Lee both go back to LFI and the Ingovernables, and so it's cool to see him use Naito's finish on Raw, and now it's making it his own SmackDown, I should say, and making it his own finish. And Cedric Alexander sold the hell out of it. And yes. So shout out to them too for having really good chemistry. They're really showcasing Dragon Lee on SmackDown now, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it too. Great, great, like you said, selling wise in that match. Really enjoyed that. But moving on, rapid fire. We got to keep it moving here. Kevin Owens, one punch.
Yeah, it was a fun backstage segment. Maybe an all-time backstage segment. Grayson Waller and Austin Theory arguing with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens saying, I can knock both you guys. I can punch both you guys with one punch. I wouldn't even need... I'd punch both of you in the face, one punch. If you guys stood side by side, no, you couldn't. Jamie Noble walks up, breaking this up. Jamie, don't you think I can punch these guys one time? Of course, Kevin. Back away. Then they sit there. They stand next to you. He said, we can just stand next, side by side. Bang, knocks both of them down. Hilarious moment. And then you hear him say, Jamie, I did it, Jamie.
Yeah.
So shout out Jamie Noble. Shout out Kevin Owens. Fun little segment. We'll see where it goes next week on SmackDown.
Very fun segment. And speaking of very fun, pretty deadly. Got to talk about it again.
You know, my boys, last week we get the salon. The Brawling Roots attacked Pretty Deadly in a salon, in their safe space, dipping their head in the foot water of the pedicure water. This week, where are the Brawling Brutes? In a bar, in their safe space. And who attacks them out of nowhere? Pretty Deadly. Really fun. I talked about it last week. Give me entertaining Pretty Deadly skits. And clearly, the writers of SmackDown are listening to Lighten Up, brother, because they're giving Fuego what he wants. Come on. That's classic pro wrestling, and I love it. Pretty Deadly, great, entertaining as hell. I'll say it every week.
I'm with you there. Love Pretty Deadly skits. They're hilarious. And definitely for you. I'll be happy for you because they're giving it to you every week. They really are giving it to you. They love it. I understand. All right, moving on. Noam Dar and Tozawa. And how you say it? You said
Akira Tozawa.
Akira Tozawa. There we go.
Yeah, they had a fun segment on NXT. You know, Tozawa's been wanting a match. And it was a Halloween theme. Noam Dar is really good at those skits. I wanted to touch on the fun, entertaining skits of the WWE. They're also, it's wrestling, but it's also sports entertainment. This is good sports entertainment. Tozawa has been making us laugh on Monday Night Raw with the Alpha Academy. You know, he took that suplex from Ivy Nile this past Monday. And then but on Tuesday, him versus Noam Dar getting set up. The fun skit with all the zombies attacking Noam Dar in the graveyard. It was a good little skit. Just wanted to shout it out as well.
Yeah, good little shout out there. I'm going to move on to Tiffany Stratton and Fallon Henley.
Angles galore on this show. Last week on NXT Halloween Havoc, Fallon Henley, who I spent a lot of time with on AEW Dark back when she was working on the independents, she dressed up like Tiffany Stratton and did a great Tiffany Stratton impression. Tiffany didn't like that. They got into a brawl in the back. This week, Fallon Henley's coming out for a match. She gets attacked by Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton beats her up, puts her in the ring, pulls her to the ring post, slams her leg on the ring post, you know, causing her some pain. A really fun angle. I'm definitely excited for their match in the future.
Me too. Very, very excited for the match in the future. And keep it going. Rapid fire. We got to get kind of going over a little bit, so we got to keep it going. Talk about Adam Copeland.
We all knew what was going to happen. We all knew Adam Copeland was going to join Sting and Darby for the six-man tag against Christian, Nick Wayne, and Luchasaurus. But this week, to see him spear, this is the opposite of the MJF thing, of like exaggerating something out and giving it to us. This wasn't really exaggerated. We kind of knew that this was the only direction to go in. You got to give us an ulterior angle to at least rub up against. And I just didn't see this. There was no other way to go besides Adam Copeland joining up with Sting and Darby. But I'm still excited for the match. I just didn't know why we needed to do the mystery tag partner.
Yeah, I understand that for sure. I'm excited for the match. A little funky how we got there, but we got here. Adam Copeland, good spirit to Christian. Love to see that. Can't wait to see them two, you know, keep going head-to-head. Now let's go on to the final piece of the rapid fire. We got to talk about her. We talk about her pretty much every week. Sheeta. Retained.
Yeah, she retained to continue to set up the Toni Storm versus Sheeta match. Definitely going to get that on pay-per-view. I feel bad, though, because we talked about this kind of in our preparation for the pod. both Chris Statlander and Sheeta don't have any top heels to wrestle right now. There's no real big stories for heels to wrestle against babyfaces, the babyface champions. I feel like AEW does heel women's champions better than they do babyface women's champions. You know, I know it sucks because, you know, the Outcasts have kind of broke up a little bit. Saraya's nowhere to be seen. Jade left the company that you brought up to me earlier and reminded me of earlier. So it's just like, it's a weird spot to be in. But I do like Timeless Toni Storm, and I do think her and Sheeta will put on a good match. But the week-to-week stuff of just having these random babyface versus babyface matches, I don't think Willow needed to lose. She's already lost both now to Sheeta and to Statlander. So it's cooled her off a little bit. And that's how I feel about a bunch of the people in the company. Do you agree?
I agree with that. And also one thing I want to shout out, though, was Sheeta's knee, like running knee to Toni Storm was awesome. Like, she reconnected. I thought that was a great, great, great moment to have in there. They had a little scuffle that I really appreciated. But, yeah, I agree with the whole, like, babyface situation to have with the women's division right now. It's looking pretty dire because, you know, where's Britt? She's not around right now. Jade's gone. They really need to start building up some heel women to take on these baby faces. So we'll see how it goes.
Tell us what you guys think in the comments below. Let us know. What do you think of the women's division right now in AEW? Do we even have to do the Match of the Week segment? I think we know who it is. Shout out to the ladder match on NXT. But we both know. MJF, Kenny Omega. Match of the week. I don't even think we have to discuss it. We spent seven minutes on it at the beginning of the show. Go watch that match if you haven't watched that match. Simple enough. Do you have an independent wrestler to shout out as of this week?
I do. I want to shout out this week Alex Kane, the Suplex Assassin. I had a pleasure.
MLW World Champion.
The current MLW World Champion, yes. I had the pleasure of actually wrestling Alex Kane in an indie match not too long ago. He's such a great guy, great talent. He gave me a lot of advice in the back after our match, and super, super humble, super nice. He's been killing it. I want to shout him out. Alex Kane's been on a tear. I feel like this has been like his year so far. So huge, huge shout out to Alex Kane. And I know someone in the comments said put their like description and where to find them at their socials. So we'll do that under the YouTube video to make sure.
Yes, description. You know where to find. In the description below.
In the description below, yeah.
I also got to wrestle Alex Kane. You remember you got to run in on that match in Atlanta. That was a fun one. I do shout out Alex Kane. I got a fun one that we both know as well. My shout out of the week is a guy named Drew Hood. D-H-N-H-D. Drew Hood in High Demand. He's got a big match coming up with Robert Martyr. But I love Drew Hood. So big shout out to Drew Hood. He's a guy that we backyard wrestled with way back in the day during our backyard wrestling days. And he's really put in a lot of work to shape his body. He's a great promo. He's around the North Carolina, South Carolina area. And he's traveling and wrestling in other states around that area. But if you're anywhere near him, check out Drew Hood. That's my guy.
Yeah, Drew Hood's my guy as well. Great, great promo and such a nice guy. We have history there. He's such an awesome friend, and I'm just happy for him because he is so, so good right now. He's on a tear. And please, please, if you don't know who Drew Hood is, go look him up. Like I said, it'll be in the description below to check out his matches, check out his promos. He is going to be a force to be reckoned with soon. Like, a lot of people need to know Drew Hood's name.
Yeah, definitely breakout star candidate. We've been going way too long, so let's wrap it up this week. Thank you guys for listening. You can find the Assassin AK 47 on socials and the Assassin AK on Twitch. Follow me at Fuego del Sol on Twitch. You know where to find me, Fuego del Sol on Twitter, Fuego del Sol _ on Instagram. Those socials will also be in the description below. Check out the Patreon. Help us like, share this with all your friends. If you see any of our promotional reels and videos, share them on your story as well. We'll repost them. We'll be in the comments down below talking to you. Thank you for listening to Lighten Up Brother with AK-47 and Fuego del Sol. Catch you next week.